HR of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
So today, President Trump was talking about, based upon questions from reporters, exactly what can be done to prevent bad guys getting access to guns, mentally ill people getting access to guns. Getting access to guns if your intent is to do something that's going to harm other people. And he decided to play into what a lot of politicians play into, which is this idea that background checks are actually the answer.
We need intelligent background checks, okay? This isn't a question of NRA, Republican, or Democrat. I will tell you, I spoke to Mitch McConnell yesterday. He's totally on board. He said, I've been waiting for your call. He is totally on board. I spoke to senators that in some cases, people are friends of mine, but pretty hardline senators, hardline, and when I say that in a positive way, hardline on the Second Amendment. And they understand we don't want insane people, mentally ill people, bad people, dangerous people. We don't want guns in the hands of the wrong people.
We should not pass bills for the sake of passing bills. I have no problem with background checks. That's not my issue. My issue is selling background checks as a way to stop the kinds of gun acts that we're talking about. Background checks were used in these cases. Background checks were used. So passing mandatory universal background checks everywhere else, what's going to stop the same exact thing from happening again? I don't want to fall into a trap that anti-gun activists try to set up for folks like you and me, who are reasonable on this, who believe strongly in the Second Amendment, but also know that there are some limits to all of our rights. There are reasonable limits and restrictions. Here's what happens. We present an argument that we want to stop mass shootings in this case. Okay. Everyone out there wants to stop mass shootings. No one out there wants a bad guy to get access to a gun. And so you come out there and you say, look, background checks, if you look at the polling, very, very popular. You should go ahead and let's pass that and we're going to go after this problem. Then we pass it and the same exact problem happens again because it didn't actually have anything to do with the problem to begin with. So, in other words, mass shooting happens yet again. Well, then they come back and say, okay, thank you so much for allowing us to pass the background checks, but you know, we got to go one step further because you don't want any more mass shootings, right? And then we do the same thing over again, and we all say to ourselves, okay, you know, mass shooting's bad. We want to do whatever we can to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And then we say, okay, I guess we'll, I mean, you don't want it to happen. Okay, I'll pass this other bill. Then they pass another bill. And then it doesn't do anything to address why we just had a mass shooting. And so it happens again and again and again, and we repeat the cycle over and over and over again. I'm fine with reasonable laws that actually go about the root cause. If you do not go about the root cause, all you've done is make it harder for law-abiding citizens to utilize their Second Amendment rights. I would love to make it much, much harder for a crazy person to get a weapon. Give me a way to do that. I don't know what intelligent background checks are, Ms. I don't know what that is. Are we running unintelligent background checks right now? You're going to have to be a little bit more specific. Because it doesn't make any sense. These red flag laws don't make a lot of sense when you're willing to get rid of due process in order to take away someone's Second Amendment rights. But Jason, this right is not absolute. I agree. But Jason, this right might hurt someone. I totally agree. So, still a right. You still have to treat it the same way you would treat, say, the First Amendment. If all of a sudden we had, it was maybe a decade ago, There was a movie that came out, a documentary came out. Maybe you can look it up. I think it was called just Bully or Bullies or something. It was a movie about, it was a documentary about teenagers being bullied. And at the time, we were having the conversation about, well, how do we deal with bullies? And there were actual conversations about speech codes coming out, that we have to do something to stop people from engaging in free speech rights because it could lead to someone being hurt. And we choose not to go ahead with those laws because we say the First Amendment is important. When did the movie come out?
The Bully in 2011.
Okay, 2011. I think that's a different, that's not the documentary. But there was a movie that came out. And we're having that conversation. Now, if you were to say, well, you know what? Bullying can lead to someone hurting themselves, which is a conversation we were having at the time. well, let's go ahead and pass laws that don't allow you to say certain things, we would all step back and say, okay, that goes a little bit too far because we have the right to free speech. Why are we not having the exact same conversation when it comes to this right? The right to bear arms. Because the left doesn't like this particular right? Okay, well, then they should try and change it. But until then, we have to respect it the same way we would respect literally any other right. And this is why the NRA pushes back, because they know the trap that's being set up. And there's no doubt that the NRA is ready for this fight. And I think the NRA would get behind, quote unquote, reasonable gun laws. But you got to be reasonable in what it is we're talking about, and claiming that a background check in this scenario is going to do anything is just not reasonable.
I have a great relationship with the NRA. They supported me very early, and that's been a great decision they made. We have Justice Kavanaugh. We have Justice Gorsuch, and they feel very strongly about the Second Amendment. The NRA's made a great decision in supporting me, and nobody else would have won aside from everything else. I have a very good relationship. I'll change it. I have a great relationship with the NRA.
Okay, well, then make sure you're listening to the NRA on this, because, again, if we're going to pretend we're going to sell a solution, quote unquote, to these mass shootings as background checks, then you're going to set yourself up for failure. And you're not going to get any leeway from folks on the left just by going and saying that you're okay with the background checks. You're not going to get any leeway with them. They're still going to go after you the next time that this happens, and they're still going to blame you the next time this happens. Andrew Yang, who, congratulations to the Yang gang. He just made it to the debate stage for round three of the debates. He's qualified before Jay Inslee. He was on with CNN, and he's using this talking point, which is just annoying. You need to stand up to the NRA.
We need common sense gun laws, gun safety laws in this country, universal background checks, red flag laws. The vast majority of Americans support this legislation.
Okay, just real quick. The vast majority of Americans have no clue what red flag laws are. The vast majority of people have no clue what that is. I can go right now outside, just talk to random people on the street. They will have no clue whatsoever what red flag laws are. I can come up with what they are, completely make it up, and they'll say, I think that makes sense.
And I'm optimistic that Republicans will do the right thing, overcome the NRA's objections, and help pass these laws to help make the American people safer.
Imagine for a moment if the left talked about Planned Parenthood the same way they talked about the NRA. The NRA evil because they are lobbying on behalf of something they believe in, but Planned Parenthood, they're not evil. They're just and ethical and moral, and they're all freedom fighters for standing up for a woman's right to choose. That's a right that it's worthy to stand up for, but the right of gun owners, not really. Let's find out what else is trending.
In Seattle.
So hundreds of protesters rallied outside of Seattle's downtown ICE offices because, I mean, why not? It was nice out. You might as well do something like protest in a way that's not going to change anything. They were singing and they were chanting and they were crying. And here's a protester talking to Como TV about why they're fighting there. In fact, they're fighting there because of the people who have died in detention centers.
So we spent some time up there. We prayed for the people who have died in detention centers and really tried to hold them in our hearts.
So how about do one step more than just pray and hold them in our hearts and do something a little bit more than trying to occupy a building in Seattle that has literally nothing to do with what's going on at the border right now? I mean, it'd be one thing to go into a detention center and try to disrupt folks there. I suppose that would make a little bit more sense, right? It's not going to do anything, but it would do a little bit more than going into downtown Seattle in one of their offices and trying to shut them down. Because they're not working at the border, and they're not murdering kids at the border, okay? Now, the rally was part of a nationwide campaign called Never Again Is Now. Okay. So about a dozen people went into the building, but ICE officers wouldn't let them in. And by the way, they were closed at the time, and so it was just kind of security members there. Now, the protesters say they don't want the Holocaust to happen again. And you've got a lot of Jewish members of this protest, Jews in the sense of they're using their religion to forward a very specific ideological position. But I doubt that they are the practicing Jews that generally speak out against people using the Holocaust for personal gain.
As Jews growing up, we were always taught to never again let anything like the Holocaust happen. The folks who work at ICE had to leave early because of us. And we will continue to gum up their works and to make things uncomfortable
Heroes.
Until there is a drastic change in the way that we treat immigrants and asylum seekers.
We're not mistreating immigrants. We're not mistreating anyone at all. They're certainly not getting the treatment that I think they should get due to overcrowding. Overcrowding that's being allowed thanks to Democrats who don't want to get involved and pass funding to give them the necessary money they need to turn through some of these cases. Unfortunately, we've got people coming into this country, trying to come into this country illegally. They're not going through the ports of entry the way they're supposed to. They're trying to go into this country illegally because they've been given the impression that Democrats are cool with the open border scenario and they've got their backs. They're getting caught. And then they're going through the system the way that they have to when you're trying to break the law and coming into this country without going through a port of entry. Let's stop pretending that we're just randomly grabbing people who are going to ports of entry and saying, oh, no, we're set. No, that's not how it works. I know that's how you want to think it works. It's not how it actually works. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. If you haven't done so yet, please give me a follow on Twitter. Just look up the name Jason Rantz. Just go to twitter.com/Jason Rantz, all one word, JSONRANTZ. Go behind the scenes of the show. You can, every once in a while, if you send me a tweet that I like, you know what I do? You know what I do? Want to know what I do?
You read it and move to the next?
Exactly. But every once in a while, I also like it. And sometimes I retweet it. And that's when I really like something. But more often, if I see something I like that you've sent to me, I will repurpose it a couple hours later and pretend I didn't see it and then tell people I came up with a thought
first. What an honor.
Yeah, so if you want to have your really good content stolen by me, follow me on Twitter under Jason Rantz, twitter.com/... Come on, that's a good pitch.
No, it's not.
It's honesty. Jason Rantz on Twitter. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday. You know what that means. It means I get to talk movies thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. The big movie release of the weekend is The Art of Racing in the Rain. It's a film about a dog named Enzo learning about life through his owner, an aspiring race car driver. The film is based in Seattle. And most of it is narrated through the dog, voiced by Kevin Costner.
Call it fate, call it luck. All I knew was I was meant to be his dog. Denny always said the best drivers focus only on the present, never dwelling on the past, never committing to the future. Reflection must come at a later time. Which is why drivers compulsively record their every move with their in-car cameras.
I had a turn earlier. Better run on that corner.
I learned so much from him about balance, anticipation, patience.
Car goes where your eyes go, Enzo.
And I would fantasize that one day I, too, might actually race.
So the movie, based on the book, it wants to make you cry. A lot. And I don't think I've ever been in a theater with so many people openly sobbing at different parts of the movie. And it tries as a film from the opening scene to the last to set you up for an emotional journey. And no matter how much you may want to resist, this is a movie that packs an emotional wallop and it stays with you after you leave the theater. It manages to be a feel-good movie, inspiring in a lot of ways, but also emotionally devastating at the same exact time. That's not easy to do, but it's incredibly effective. Now, the least interesting part of the movie is the storyline of the main adult character, Enzo's owner, played by Milo Ventimiglia. I think he's probably a little bit too pure, and the bad guy, quote-unquote, played by the father-in-law, is probably a little bit too bad. It does play into the archetypes a little too much, but the dog's journey and the narration from the Kevin Costner voice, it really keeps the movie going and keeps the movie feeling fresh and interesting. I really, really liked The Art of Racing in the Rain, despite some of the faults, because it doesn't try to sell you on something it's not. You know exactly what this movie is, and it delivers what it's supposed to, and you know, in a lot of parts, what's going to happen at the end by the first scene. It's not about that. It's about the journey, and it's going to make you cry like a crazy person, and sometimes you just need a good cry. It's rated PG. That's right. It's out now. I highly recommend it. And you should, by the way, stick around for my in-studio interview with the author of the book that this movie is based on, local Garth Stein. He's going to stop by at 5:30, so not too long from now. We're going to talk about this film And what's the purpose? What are you supposed to take from this movie? And I always feel like when you hear directly from the person who's responsible for the content, you really get a better sense of how the movie impacts you. And I get the sense from talking with him, like, oh, that explains why I'm feeling this way after seeing the movie. Really do recommend it. The Art of Racing in the Rain, it's out right now. What movie are you going to see? Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. I hope you take my advice and see this movie again. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Stuck in traffic.
So I'm going to try to talk about the story. And I'm going to try to not get upset.
About what in particular?
The TSA.
And?
I'm just, if I mention it, I'm going to immediately lose it. And I know we've got about 4.5, 5 minutes left in this segment. So I want to see how far I can go. And I'm not going to fake it. I'm going to see how far I can go without getting incredibly, incredibly upset. Because this is a story about the TSA. And we're just at that point where it's sort of the peak of the summer travel season of people going out of town. And they still expect like 2.2 million people going to the airport throughout the remainder of the next few weeks because of summer vacation and whatnot. And so the TSA over at SeaTac are, again, reminding people, you know, when you're packing your stuff, make sure you don't pack things that you know you can't take through security, because all it does is make the line so much longer and it makes everyone more stressed than they need to be. Okay? So don't bring that huge bottle of shampoo, because the last time you went, you couldn't bring the big bottle of shampoo. So I don't know why you're doing it again. The rules haven't changed in the last few months since you last flew. And all you're doing is making it so that they pull you aside. The line gets longer because they're going through your stuff. They pull out the shampoo and you're all like, oh, I didn't realize I couldn't bring it. Yes, you did. So stop.
You lasted 36 seconds.
I don't understand. 3.4 ounces. 3.4 ounces. I know that. I know that you can't bring liquids in. If you want to, here's what you do. You go in and you check your bag. That's a way around this. And then you don't have to lug your luggage around like a big dope the entire time. And you still get the full bottle of shampoo, which, by the way, I don't know why you're bringing that much shampoo. You're going on vacation for what? 4 days? You need an entire bottle of Pert or whatever it is. I don't use the cheap stuff, so I don't know what it's called. Why are you bringing it all? You don't even need 3.4 ounces of shampoo. First of all, you're going to wash your hair maybe 2 times the entire time. You're likely staying at a hotel and they give you their crappy version of shampoo. You don't need it. I don't understand. What is the big bottle of shampoo for? How much shampoo? You know you're only supposed to use about a quarter size. And let's say you do it twice, which, by the way, you shouldn't do. Unless your doctor, your dermatologist specifically tells you to because you got weird hair. All you're doing is sucking out all the good, healthy oils of your hair. So stop bringing the full thing of shampoo.
Are you done? Are you done? You calm down? You calm?
I just don't know why adults can't figure this out. And why people refuse to follow the rules. Do they not care that I'm standing behind them in line? Do they not care about all of our individual plans that we maybe are running a little bit late and need to get to our Alaska Airlines flight to so-and-so? Do they not care? I honestly don't understand.
No more yelling.
No, I just want some answers.
Yeah, we know.
That's all I want. I don't think I'm being unreasonable.
No, you're not.
Well, you know, airports are not new, yeah. You know that we've had these rules in place for years and years and years and years. And I kind of feel like if we got rid of these rules, you know what would happen? You would probably hear about them. We would have news stories about it everywhere. You'd be reading it right now at KTTH.com. I'm sure I will have a blog about that. Some hot take. I'd probably be upset about it, weirdly. But you would know about it.
Weirdly? You're upset about everything.
But you would know about it. That's all I'm saying. And yes, you know you have to take off your belt. Yeah, you know you got to take off your boots. Yes, a Microsoft Surface counts as a laptop. Take it out of your luggage. They're going to ask you to do it anyway. No, you can't bring a whole big bottle of water, okay? You're not fooling anybody. Just stop it. God, I hate you. That's all. That's all.
Well, at least it wasn't the lack of outlets.
Oh, and by the way,
shoot.
I finally pass the stupid security.
My fault.
Because the line is so long, I'm on my phone the whole time, and because I have an iPhone 10, which is the worst piece of garbage phone ever, the battery, it leaks like a sieve, and so I'm already down to 63% because I'm listening to the KTTH app on the way over to the airport. I try to plug in, and what ends up happening? Nothing comes out. I can be plugged into that stupid outlet for 2 hours before my flight, and it goes from 63% to 64. 2 hours!
Sorry.
I don't understand. I don't understand. Just go, traffic. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. The name of the movie is The Art of Racing in the Rain. It's based on the incredibly popular book of the same title, written by Garth Stein, a local author that we love to celebrate because we back our locals. Garth joins us in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, it's a pleasure, Jason. Good to see you again.
I hate giving the plot lines of movies out in front of the people who are involved in the making of either the film or the book because I never know if I'm selling it correctly or giving away too much. And I seem to remember the last time you and I had a conversation about the book, we were pretty open about some key points of the book.
That's true.
So I will let you describe what this movie is so I don't give away too much, even though the first scene kind of sets the stage.
It's funny. We were at a screening last night, and my 12-year-old said, I can't go through this emotional roller coaster again. So we started to leave, and 10 seconds after walking out of the theater, he looks at me, he's like, people have already started crying.
Yeah. So. You're crying in the first scene.
Yeah. I mean, it's a story. It's told from the point of view of Enzo the dog. So it's narrated from a dog's point of view. And Enzo is convinced he's going to be reincarnated as a person in his next life. So he studies the world around him, all the people around him, so that when he comes back, he'll be a really good citizen, mm-hmm. And his master is a race car driver, Denny Swift. And Enzo realizes that the techniques that make you successful on the racetrack, balance, anticipation, patience, all of these things, if you were to apply them to your life as a human, you would be a very good person. Mm-hmm. And so that's what his goal is, to try to apply those rules to himself in his future incarnation. If that sounds convoluted, it's a lot simpler. Kevin Costner voices is Enzo. That's all you need to know.
Amazing. Yeah. And I was kind of shocked at how, because I know that voice. It sounds familiar, but I purposely didn't see who was the voice because I wanted to really be in the moment of the film. And once I picked, because I was like, is that Randy Quaid? Yeah. The Kevin Costner? It's so perfect for this dog. Is it? What did you hear this voice in your head as you were writing the book?
I didn't. When I was writing the book, I wasn't sure what he would sound like. I mean, Enzo himself refers to, if he had a voice, he thinks he would sound like James Earl Jones. So, it's a little bit off there. But when they told me that Kevin Costner was going to do the voice, I first thought, that's an odd choice. And then I went to the YouTube and looked up some Field of Dreams clips mm-hmm. with voiceover, and it was really good. And I thought, I think that's actually an inspired choice. And it turns out they did fabulous. So
it really was. And what I love about this movie, even though I don't think I've ever heard so many people sobbing in a theater, like multiple times throughout the movie, it never felt forced. It never felt like they were purposefully trying to set you up, because, again, from the first scene of the movie, you know what's going to happen at the end. It's about the journey there.
Yeah, that's what I hope. I mean, when I was writing the book, I knew it's dangerous to write a dog book because some people say, I won't read a dog book because the dog always dies at the end. So I said, you know what? We're going to kill off the dog in the first chapter and get that over with, mm-hmm. because it's not about that. It's about a life-affirming story about the ongoing journey of the soul, right? So they took the same structure that I had developed and used it for the film. So we know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
And the fun is in the journey of how we get there. So that's why last time we were here, we're like, we'll just talk about it. Yeah, no spoilers here, right?
But it sets sort of the emotional stage so it doesn't feel so manipulated, because rather than the dread of watching or reading and like, okay, we know something bad has to happen.
Right.
But in this case, the bad isn't traditionally bad. This is just the end of a journey.
That's right. And I think that it's important to keep in mind that we all love our pets so much.
Yeah.
I'm a dog guy myself. We all love our dogs. And we know that our lifetime is going to exceed their life expectancy. And we know that it's going to end. When it ends, our dog, last dog just passed away a year and a half ago. And there's grief, you know, and you go through a cathartic experience and you feel that. I would not, if you said to me, you know what, we can go back in time. You don't have a dog for 14 years. So that way you won't have to go through that grief. I would say absolutely not. For 14 years, it was joy and unconditional love and just being with, you know, that connection that you have with your animal. Okay, I'm going to have to pay for that. I get it. That's part of living. That's part of the world. And we shouldn't deny it. We should embrace it and say, now I grieve.
Totally.
This is the grieving process. And now it's time to be born again, you know?
So the name of the book and the movie, The Art of Racing in the Rain, the movie is out right now. You should absolutely go see it. It's PG. I think it's fine for everybody. This again,
yeah, it
just,
can be,
you go in. It's
it
a, little,
be a little intense for,
it can
you know,
be for younger,
but yeah,
younger
but PG
kids.
PG is a good rating for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it takes place in Seattle and kind of Yakima. How important is that to the story in your view?
It's crucial. I'm a Seattle guy. I grew up in Shoreline and went to Shorewood High School. Go T-Birds, rah-rah. And so I always try and put Seattle settings in my and make them a part. So in the book, you'll find a lot of things. In the movie, you know, it's not so much. They shot most of it in Vancouver and they shot some here. But if you like go to the book, you'll see Lakeview Cemetery because everybody's a fan of Bruce Lee. So, you know, I had to like throw in some great Seattle locations. And I like the Seattle being literally a character in my novels. So.
How do you set yourself up for a movie based on your material when you don't necessarily have complete control, obviously, of what's going to be on screen?
Yeah, it's a big sort of partition thing. It's hard to do, but I've mastered it because I do a lot of meditating and and I go to Uncle Ike's quite a bit. And
nice.
It's all good.
So that's you had to self-medicate in order to handle this. I'm assuming you're incredibly proud of the product that was put on screen.
Yeah, you know, my hope was that they would capture the heart and the spirit of the book and translate that to a movie to get to a bigger audience and people would be able to enjoy that. And really, the heart of this movie is in the right place. Things have changed. They've had to adjust things because that's part of the process. But since the heart is in the right place, I think people are really, if you like the book, you're going to love the movie. And shoot, if you haven't read the book, I think you'll love the movie. And then go read the book.
Yeah, you should still go read the book because obviously, you know, when you're, it's really a character study. I mean, that's what this is a character driven movie. Yes, you've got obviously a plot in there, but it is kind of about the intricacies and the nuances of people and how it rubs off on a dog.
Sure. And when the main character that you're studying is a dog, it's hysterical because Enzo is self-educated by watching television. So he gets some things spot on and some things are a little distorted. In the book, he's convinced that man, for instance, is descended from dogs, not from monkeys. And he has this whole theory about the werewolf and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, Enzo was a pure joy to write. I've never synced up quite as cleanly with a character before. He was there with me working, and so I do feel that the soul of Enzo pervades this whole project.
So do you then judge your future projects, and you've certainly written since this book came out a decade ago?
Yeah.
So do you now use this as sort of the bar of what you need to reach as far as that relationship with the character?
Well, I always try to achieve it. Yes, absolutely. You know, every book that I write has got to be the best book I've written.
Yeah.
So I don't lower my standards. The great Formula One race car driver Juan Manuel Fangio said, we must always strive to be the best, but we must never believe that we are. And I think, Jason, I need to hold you to that level with all the work that you do. You're such a great personality in Seattle.
Thank you.
Always strive to be the best.
I strive to do at least mediocre, just because I do a 3-hour show every single day. I can't be the best every single day.
You're so modest. Get out of here.
I'm incredibly not modest at all. I think I'm the best talk show host there is, and
there
I have great taste in movies, which is why I like The Art of Racing in the Rain. So what do you hope people take out of this film versus what you think people should take out of the book?
I'm not sure there's that much of a difference. I mean, what I want to do, when I write a book, I want one to be a really good story that's a fun ride. Okay. Yeah. I want there to be peaks and valleys and highs and lows. I want lots of laughter and lots of tears. And I want you to go through an emotional experience so that when you're done, you feel somehow changed. You feel you see the world in a slightly different way. It would be great if the movie can do that as well. And I think one of the main notes of that is the way we treat each other mm-hmm. in this world, which is getting more and more toxic, Jason. As you know, yeah. People are angry all the time, and people react without sort of understanding sort of the privilege it is to be a human being. You know, we treat our dogs with unconditional love. We don't treat the people around us with unconditional yeah. love. If we could treat each other more like dogs, I think we'd be a better society. And I mean that in a good way.
Well, and even in the sense of, and I thought this was a really good moment in the movie, especially where you see the master getting upset at the dog, and then just very quickly you realize, oh, I really overreacted, and yeah. then the dog brings out the love of the Enzo brings out the love that you had. And yes, that can very easily be attributable to what we should probably be doing with human beings of, okay, maybe I overreacted in the moment, let's come back together and find some sort of harmony.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this happened last night. We were doing the screening downtown, and it was a lot of pressure. Like, I've been doing so much work and publicity for this.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. But last night it was friends and family, and it was like, so there's more it's amped mm-hmm. up level of pressure. And I was trying to do too many things at once, and there was a fan there trying to get me to sign her book, and I kind of snapped at her before the movie started, and I felt really bad about it because I didn't mean that wasn't me.
Yeah, it
was just
intent.
The situation, yeah. right? So at the end, like, I was doing the Q&A with Warren Etheridge, who's a great guy, and I finally realized, oh, I should make this right. And so I asked her to raise her hand so I could go sign her book, because we can make amends. All you have to do is say, look, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Let me make that right. It takes no effort to do that. Yeah. And yet our egos get involved. We become defensive and we don't do that. So
perfect world. Someone sees the movie, they come out of it saying, you know what, I'm going to feel a little bit better about myself and I'm going to work on our relationships.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, come on. That's making an impact on the world.
It 100% is.
Right.
And how many people can say that about a movie or a book, that they actually change, you know, the individual and how they feel towards other people and how they act towards other people?
Yeah. And I've gotten plenty of fan mail from the book. I haven't gotten reaction yet from the movie. It's opening tonight. But from the book, I get that, you know, this I look at the world differently, or I react differently to the people around me because of this book. And that is an honor, you know, and I appreciate it. It's not taken lightly by me at all.
Now, you know, you're going up against Dora the Explorer.
No, I know.
Why don't you guys see that one maybe next week? It'll be there. The Art of Racing in the Rain, much higher quality film. I'm sure Dora is the nicest
awesome.
Person in the world. But Enzo, way more adorable and probably a little less knowing than the Dora character.
Yeah. And there's plenty of room for all movies. But please go see The Art of Racing in the Rain.
Yes. See Dora, but see Art of Racing in the Rain first. There Bring you all go. Your family and friends, and let's back a local author who cares about the community. I love the material. It's a really good movie. It's a really great book. So go ahead and I know we're asking a lot. Get the book, but also see the movie. Take everyone out this weekend. It's out now. It's called The Art of Racing in the Rain. Garth Stein, thank you so much for stopping
by. Thanks for having me, Jason. Good to see you.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Training Academy studio. Quick show note, I will be on Q13 tonight at 8:30. We are going to be talking about the week's worth of news. We're doing sort of a week in review recap. And it turns out there were lots of news stories this week. Like, lots. Locally and nationally. And we're going to talk about it in a meaningful way in 6 minutes on TV. So, I mean, you should watch it. I'm going to go do my hair when I get home. That'll take me at least 2 hours. So I might actually be late for the taping. I might just barely get there.
You could watch Jason on TV tonight, yes, or you could go out and do something on Friday night.
Overrated. Oh, we have friends. I have to go out. Well, I'm going to be on TV at 8:30 on Q13 talking about stuff. I feel like that's more important. Oh, I can watch it on DVR. Yeah, but it's better if you watch it live. Right?
Is it? No, it's not.
Well, I mean, something in the news could happen between the time I go on live and when you watch it on DVR, that could then mean all my wonderful commentary is no longer valid.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. You can be a little excited. Okay. So there's some news out of Northgate that's not really news, but it's a sign of what's to come. Nordstrom in the Northgate Mall is closing in 10 minutes, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. I don't know when they actually close, but it's closing for good today. More than 170 employees were informed back in June that they were likely going to lose their jobs there. The Seattle Times reports Nordstrom has been closing about 2 underperforming stores each and every year, which makes total sense. But really, this is about the fact that it's closing at a time that the Northgate Mall is quote-unquote evolving, right? The property around there, it's about 55 acres. It's going through this massive change because the NHL of Seattle is opening a 140,000-square-foot practice facility for the new hockey team, a name of which still has not yet. But they got to put out the name at some point, right? I'm kind of losing my patience. There's no real momentum anymore for the excitement around the naming of the team. We're kind of like, okay.
Don't quote me. I think they said 2020.
That's when the team is coming. But, I mean, they should put out the name already. Get people excited. Get the logo out there. Get people buying the jerseys and they have jerseys.
You have to
and
periodically
hats.
Release new news. You can't do it all at once.
I just feel like there was a lot of momentum on the side of, ooh, what will the name of the team be? Let's give our own examples. Let's say what doesn't work. Let's say what does work. And then it just kind of died. I just feel like they should probably just put it out there. But in any case, they're revising this whole spot. And you've got light rail coming at some point soon. It's going to really make Northgate a destination in this area. I want not just the Nordstrom there to close. I want every store there. Just wipe it off the face of Northgate and just build from scratch. That whole area is the worst. What?
Jason Rant's advocating for people to lose their jobs.
Yeah, no, they shouldn't lose their jobs. We should put them somewhere else. But the Northgate Mall is the worst mall in the world. There's nothing there. There's nothing. It's a bad mall. Just end it. End it all. What do you got there? Hot Topic? You can get a Hot Topic anywhere. Go to the Alderwood Mall.
Alderwood and Linwood?
Go at literally any mall. South Center Mall. How about that?
There's like no malls in Seattle.
We got Pacific Place. Malls are, again, overrated. Do it all online. Shop at Amazon.com. I'm just saying the Northgate Mall is not a good mall. That's all I'm saying.
And you want people to lose their jobs?
No, they can get hired at the new facilities that get built.
Why don't you go drive, take the station vehicle over to Nordstrom and interview the employees as they're exiting? No. How does it feel to be one of the
you can work at another Nordstrom. Okay, you know, how about this? Let's use this as an opportunity to better ourselves. You don't want to be stuck at Nordstrom for the rest of your life. You don't.
So it's content there.
No, okay, you can be content, but it's a dead-end job. This is not a job you're supposed to have for the rest of your life. Now, if you want to manage Nordstrom, that's a little bit different. But that's not what you're talking about. And finally, just real quickly, because there's a story up at MyNorthwest.com, which is our parent website. So there are now at CenturyLink, there is a taco time. Did you know that? You know, just part of the upgrading the concessions. People have expectations of quality food. And they went through last year. They just did a whole big redesign of their menus. They've got great barbecue and stuff there. And they've got a taco time. What is taco time known for?
Tacos.
No, but what are they really known for? The Mexifries.
Oh, I know.
That's what they're known for. You don't call them tater tots, you call them Mexifries.
Okay.
And so last night, a friend of mine was there. I was actually also at the game. I wasn't paying attention to anything. My friend and I, in fact, I was out with Benji Baca from the American Conservation Coalition. All I was doing was coming up with backstories for the Seahawks dancers. You can't call them seagulls anymore because they're men on the team as well, who, by the way, way better dancers than the women. And it wasn't nearly as in your face as I thought people might expect, because you don't really expect to see male dancers with the cheerleaders. Thought it was a really good show. But anyway, while I was doing that, our friend over at MyNorthwest.com was going to the taco time to get the Mexifries. They don't serve Mexifries there. It's their signature dish. How do you not serve that at CenturyLink's Taco Time? This is an outrage. Someone should write a letter. There should be protests. People should be occupying the space, crying about it, chanting, singing. Okay, fine. I guess I'm the only one passionate about things. I try to do some good for the community. You just give me a hard time. You've been listening to The Jason Rancher. Thank you so much for tuning in all week. Really do appreciate it. Again, I'll be on Q13 tonight at 8:30 talking about the week's news. Can't catch me then, I'll catch you on Monday right here on AM 770 KTTH.